Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Meredith Herrenbruck. Before I bring her on, I want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News, also on lbry.tv. It's our backup channel. We're also available on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. Rockfin is where you get all of our premium content. You get Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon, which was just held last weekend. You get last year's Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon. You get all our regular shows, all the premium content from every content creator on Rockfin, and it is growing fast. They've got so many like-minded, free-thinking content creators that are jumping on Rockfin right now. You really got to go check it out. You can create a free account, see what's on there. Just click the link in the description or visit rockfin.com/FKN+. See what they have to offer. And finally, check out the great products at Ascent Nutrition. They're from the same fine folks at EMF Harmonized. I've been using their Peak Liver Support. It supports liver detoxification. It is full of free radical scavengers and supports healthy energy levels. I've also been taking their Nootropic Focus. It supports brain health and concentration, helps with attention, memory, and recall. And they have some of the highest quality supplements. They even have organically grown mold and mycotoxin free coffee. Just click the link in the description for that as well to check them out and see what they can offer you. Tonight, I want to welcome to the show Meredith Herrenbruck. She is a multifaceted coach, writer, speaker, and author, and an experienced NLP coach who utilizes her multidisciplinary knowledge base to enhance peak performance. She has a master practitioner certification from NLP Marin, a family school constellations facilitator. A certification was initiated to Huna by Kahuna Mark Sato in Hawaii, and she studied Huna with him over the span of 3 years. Meredith, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it. I really want to, looking forward to getting into discussing what family soul constellations and Huna healing is. I know a little bit about NLP, so looking forward to getting into this, as well as different aspects that form our mental programming overall and kind of help us uncover root causes of whatever maybe a person's issue or trauma may be, right? That's what the purpose of some of these are, right?
Absolutely. And so I'd love for you to, and your guests to, imagine something that they've been experiencing, either a trigger or persistent nightmares, or, lackluster relationships, or frustrations with family, anxiety, stress. I mean, anything that is kind of an unwanted experience, like just step into that for a moment and just go, wow, how long have I had that? It probably didn't start yesterday. Then maybe it started a little bit longer, long ago. And that's where I focus in helping my clients. And because what we think the current situation is and our frustrations or triggers that are in the moment, 99% of the time it's from way back when, but you've had it for so long, you don't know to be different. And so NLP and Family Soul Constellations and Huna are different tools in my toolbox that help uncover where they're coming from. As you know, we're talking about root causes. Well, sometimes it's childhood. Sometimes it's stuck family energies that you're holding on to in effort to say, I love you, and say, you were in pain and we swept it under the rug, three generations back. I'm going to grab onto it because it was never forgiven, or, the energy is still stuck. And so we grab onto it and we go, I'll take it, I'll have it, in effort to kind of point to the fact that there is a problem. But grabbing onto that pain just kind of makes your life really horrible and sucky. And then you just go, you're sitting there and you go, why are things not working out? Okay. And then, so we got the childhood stuff. We've got the family energies happening. And then Huna is more the energetic stuff that's happening, which is other root causes of entities, past life stuff. I mean, that can go really anywhere. And so I have found that these three modalities complement beautifully. I use almost all of them with every client. And then once we uncover that root cause and offer your system new solutions, then you don't have to have those problems anymore. You don't have to be triggered. You don't have to manage your stress. You don't have to, you know, do yoga every day and do your poses and go, okay, I'm going to be better today. I'm going to feel better today, right? It's just once we fix it, then you're a better person. You have more of what you want. That's what I do.
Wow. Hey, who wouldn't want that? That sounds awesome. Now, let's kind of break this down. First, let's start with a little bit more about what got you involved with this. And we'll kind of break down each of those kind of categories of what you're working with. So what got you interested and involved with this?
Well, it really started when I was little. There were a few things that happened. One, I had a trauma that took me a really long time to figure out how to get through and beyond. And so that took me many years to finally get to these modalities, which helped me like crazy. But I also had premonitions when I was little, and I still have them on occasion. And my main quest for life was to figure out how the heck I was having them, why I was having them. And it got me to go, well, how does the universe work? So my insatiable curiosity just kept me going and reading and learning and all of that. So I went down the rabbit hole and I kind of came out the other side, if you will, to understanding life a whole lot differently, overall more calmly and more excitedly, less stressed and all those things. So yeah, it was my insatiable curiosity from kind of the hand that I was dealt.
So how did you discover NLP and how does that integrate into what you're doing?
So NLP dropped in my lap because a friend of mine was helping me with my woes of his boy troubles. And we were chatting, we were also doing a project and I was in my late 20s. And he asked me these really, really good questions. And I will tell you in 15 minutes, I got deeper and farther than a year of therapy did in 15 minutes. And I'm not kidding. And NLP starts with, well, what would you like? And then you go, and it was striking for me because I go, no one's ever really asked me that, right? It's kind of like, well, how do you stop feeling this way? What medicines should I take, et cetera, right? It's all this outsourcing. But what NLP started to do for me was it made me look into how I was creating my experience, that I wasn't just this person in the bleachers watching my life go by, that somehow I was kind of co-creating, if not completely creating my experience, right? And so once that started to happen, where I started to kind of go, oh, I'm the master of my own ship here. I mean, that's kind of like I need some coffee with that. And I need to think that one over. But it got me into going, oh, wow, all my beliefs, all my thoughts and behaviors are creating my experience. And once I started to understand that, then it's like, well, if you're the master of your ship, then you can steer it wherever you want to go. And that's what I love about NLP and all these things is you can uncover your unwanted experiences, shift your system to be more in alignment with how you want your future to be now. And then you can go after it. And then, you know, the world is your oyster, which is fantastic. So NLP just helps actually shifts your neurology, shifts your belief systems, shifts your unwanted experiences, such that you may have the memory of what happened in the past that was not so wonderful, but you can still choose to feel and think and believe differently about that, right? So we'll get into that more, but that's kind of like the overview of what NLP does, is it shifts your neurology so you don't have to manage, you know, and control and try and, you know, crank out and try to override your sadness and frustrations and stresses.
Now, what about Huna and Family Soul Constellations? I guess kind of how is that integrated as well? Explain a little bit more about what Huna and Family Soul Constellations is.
Sure. I'm going to give you an example of a client experience where a client had called me with their son, who was about 8 years old. This was, I think, last month, where he was afraid of going into his room. He's petrified, right? And so on the surface, you could kind of analyze and think, well, maybe he read too many ghost stories, or he, you know, heard from a friend in school, you know, something to be scared of his closet. You know, it's like, where is this coming from? Right. And I always think on, let's be logical. Let's look at the tangible, you know, normal avenues first, right? Where did he learn to be scared, or, you know, what's happening? And so I have had a lot of experience with someone having a really weird kind of chronic condition, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, like entity attachment or ghost attachment. Like, we can totally dive off the deep end there. And they go, but I don't know what it is, but I just know that this sucks. So that's where I started. And the thing is, I'm really sensitive. I can pick up sometimes sounds that other people can't hear. I can feel things, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went through this family's house and I just picked up on a lot of different things that were happening with the house. That was from long ago and far away, things that happened to that property 80-100 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. And so anyway, so this kid was afraid of something in his closet. Actually, she didn't say where specifically he was afraid of, like what he was afraid of. And so I go into the house and I pick up some things and I clear the energy. And this is through Huna work. It's his energetic, intentional work. Kahuna means seer of that which is unseen. So it is, I can pick up on stories. I can pick up on auditory. I download a lot of information. So it ends up being that I go into this kid's room and everything seems normal. Like there's a little bit of, all right, I'd maybe shift the furniture around so it flows better and energy doesn't get stuck and so forth. But I kept looking at that closet and I open it up and looking around and looking at the clothes. Nope. And I'm going, where is my energy wanting to go? What is grabbing my attention? And I kept looking at this bin of toys in the middle of the closet. And I go, it's toys, right? Kids' toys. What could be the problem with that? And so then I asked the owner and the mom, and I said, can you come here? And so she comes into the room and I said, what's in the toys? Like, can you talk to me about these toys? And she says, funny you should say that. She goes, all the kids' toys we bought were new, except for this small set that she bought online as secondhand. And ever since she bought it, because there's the original toys that she wanted to buy were out of stock in the store and it was for Christmas. And so she's like, I got to get this thing. And so she gets it secondhand and she brings it. And the thing is, she set it up in that morning for Christmas. The kids never wanted to play with it. They were always avoided it. And it's ended up being the very items that scared him to death. I learned through my intuition that there was a very nasty energetic being, what I call entity, that was attached, that would come out in the middle of the night and scare him to death. And so I ended up removing it that afternoon and clearing it. So Huna is very deep energetic work that it's kind of shamanic work, if you will, as another term.
Yeah, I want to get into a little bit more about entity attachments in a minute, but tell us more about what family soul constellations are.
All right. So Family Soul Constellations it was kind of discovered by Bert Hellinger in Germany, 60s, I believe. Anyway, so he was like a psychotherapist, psychoanalyst, and he was working with a client and, you know, he started to do role playing, right? And so the client was this daughter having problems with her dad who was really overbearing. And so he goes, all right, let's do a little role play. I'm going to step into his experience and we're just going to have a little conversation. And what happened was when he kind of cleared his mind and he's having a conversation with his client, he starts saying things that she just looks at him surprisingly. And she goes, that's the exact phrase that my dad would say. And he goes, okay, that's coincidence. That's just weird. Okay. But it kept happening. And so what he learned was he was downloading information from this woman's family. And he ended up discovering that there are these energetic patterns that happen in families that younger generations will grab onto. So for example, alcoholism, a lot of people say it's genetic. I'm not quite sure it's genetic. I think it might turn into genetics a few generations later, but initially it's energetic. So if you have emigration, deaths, loss of family fortune, huge wars, like big tumultuous traumas where people are really negatively affected. If you don't clear that energy out in that generation or with that person or with those people, like victim perpetrator stuff, what happens is then that energy gets stuck in that person and then it gets translated down. I don't know how it works, but then the younger generations, if it's not fixed and forgiven and all this stuff, then you make a mess of your life and you don't know where it's coming from. You just go, I felt this way my whole life. I've had this anxiety my whole life, or I've had this anger my whole life, or I just can't hold on to a relationship anymore, et cetera. I mean, it's insidious. And so what Family Soul Constellations does is it offers a resolution into the family system. So what we do is we kind of in a room, we have people called representatives and they hold on to cards that they don't know what it says or what it is. It might be a family member or it might be, quote, the root cause or whatever it is. And people will be downloading information. They have no idea what is going on. So this is all energetic work, right? We're all connected. Information is available no matter what. And so we're tuning in. And so we find the stuck problem and then we go, all right, well, what needs to be fixed? Who needs to say what to whom? What needs to happen? And then once we figure that out, then what's so magical is then once the appropriate things are said and done within this room, it doesn't matter where, but it's like, you know, where everyone is. And we can even do it over Zoom. Everyone can be in their respective houses and do this. So there's no such place as far away. Then what happens is it creates a ripple effect through space and time. And the client will feel better. The family members who are still alive or not alive, it kind of clears the decks. Few generations back and a few generations down. And so the client feels better. The client is resolved of that issue, which can be a chronic illness, pain, alcoholism, anything. And so when we offer a resolution here, then it ends up just calming the system down, that family system down. So then the people who have passed on can be honestly laid to rest with their eyes closed and at peace. They can go up back to heaven or wherever they ultimately need to go. And then we can be here in our own life, living here and now and with our own personal desires, not trying to fix a family from two generations back. And you'd be surprised at how much we entangle ourselves in our families. And we have no conscious clue that we're doing it. All we know is that we're stuck somehow. So that is one of my favorite things to do, is do family soul constellations, because it is so transformative. And it's transformative within, you know, 10 minutes to 2 days. You'll already start feeling the difference.
Wow. Now I want to go back to that in a minute. But as far as entity attachments, what kind of attachments is most prevalent that you've dealt with? Would it be past spirits, or, you know, some type of other disincarnate entities? What are you working with there?
The most common, gosh, I don't know if there's the most common. I would guess the two most common are family members who've passed on, who feel guilty leaving or don't want to leave, and they stay stuck here, either just roaming around, or they become attached to a younger generational family member. And how we know this, and this to me, it's very obvious, and I have learned this through working with my clients, is when they say to me, my husband or my father or my child passed away 10 years ago, or more than a year or two. Okay. Because of course there is a year or so of deep mourning. There is real loss, real reconciliation, and trying to figure everything out. Okay. But when the deep pain goes beyond that, where it's constant, every time you think of that person, you just cannot stop crying, or it's their birthday and you're just inconsolable. Most likely, it's been my experience that they are attached to you and they haven't moved on, because they just like, you're so sad. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave you. Right? I died too early and I want to make it better for you. But then what happens is then they attach to you, and then their pain is your pain, and all their energies and all their baggage, if you will, gets attached to you. And it just snowballs, and it makes it worse. So that is fairly common. But the more insidious ones, which I really want to talk about, are the entities that were never, I don't know if they were ever human, incarnated human, or I don't know where they come from, but there's kind of the levels or the realms where they just want to mess with you. They're not nice. They want to take your energy. They, you know, it's kind of like Monsters, Inc., right? All the monsters go to scare you, and they get energy, right, to feed their city, to power their city. And it's not like the monsters are necessarily bad. They have a job to do, because their higher ups told them, this is what you have to do or else. And so they're entities that come in to scare you, drain your energy, because they don't know any better, and they can really, 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 really make a bad life for you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you say higher ups, I was just going to get clarification on what do you meant by higher ups here?
Well, gosh, it's everything is a hierarchical structure, right? If you have the angelic realms, you have, you know, the archangels, and then you have the various realms of different levels and powers. And I mean, those are all positive, and they're all for good and of the light. They are peaceful. They don't interfere. There's rules, there's structure. Similarly, on the flip side, on the dark side, if you will, the negative side, the energy sucking side, the fear state, higher ups, they're there because they're angry, because they don't know who they are. Ultimately, they don't know their own power, and they give it away. Right. So there was one entity actually used to be an incarnated human, but she had such a horrible life, and she got so angry that she turned to the dark side, if you will, and wreaked havoc. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Where did you come from? How did you get here? And I just got these pictures of a long time ago. She was, had this horrible life, and she just started to believe the worst in everything. And it snowballed into all that intention, all that anger made her what she was. But then when I showed her what she was a long time ago, because she'd forgotten it, she goes, oh, I'm like, so do you really want to do this anymore? Is this really getting you to where you want to go? She goes, I have a choice. And this is often 99% of the time they go, I have a choice. And she, and I go, yeah, you have a choice. And she goes, oh, wow. I had no idea. And so, you know, I kind of gave her, so I reintroduced her to the light and positivity and love and forgiveness and all these things. And she goes, I mean, she was just like, wow. I mean, I could feel this, like, I have really, I've gone down a wrong path here. And I was spinning in my own anger. So then she goes, yeah, I'm going to give all that negativity up. I don't want it anymore. And once you, similarly with ourselves, once you know that you have your own power, that you can make those choices of how you feel and what to believe and so forth, you can shift to wherever you want to go. So if you want to be negative and angry and this, in the fear state and apathetic and so forth, Dr. David Hawkins talks about levels of consciousness. I don't know if you ever read Power Versus Force. It's one of my favorite books. But he talks about, you know, zero being, you know, the most apathetic, least amount of power, to a, you know, 1,000 being the highest level that energetically that a human form can take, you know, like Jesus was at 1,000, etc. So anyway, so entities can come from anywhere. They could have been human at one point. Maybe they were never human, but because they don't know their power and they think it kind of gets them something, or someone has told them, you have no power and I'm going to scare you and push you down. Then they go, okay, I guess that's right. And they follow suit. But whenever I'm working with entity attachments, I always go, okay, who's your boss? You know, who's your boss? Okay, who's their boss? Because I need to talk to the main one. And they're big and some of them are really scary. But the thing is, light always wins. It's like the ace, it's in the hole. It's like, this is the trump card. So you don't have any more power than the light. There's no way. It's just absolutely impossible. So that's kind of the structure that I've learned so far of how it operates. Yeah, it's fascinating work.
Now, I want to kind of get some examples of, you know, some more examples of how this has helped people in your own practices. I do have a quick question, though. I've had a few guests on that have talked about how certain pets or animals can bring in certain spiritual attachments. Have you heard of that or have dealt with that before?
Let me think. I have not personally experienced attachments. You know, I do a clearing, not necessarily ritual, but I'll do a clearing moment once in a while. I'll check in with my house. I'll check in with my family members. And I used to have a dog, Tucker, who was a Vishla. He was awesome. And when he was little, I was moving into a place in Marin, and I just done all my HUNA work, and I was all kind of like in it and going, okay, I'm going to clear everything and so forth. Anyway, but I'd received a box with furniture inside to kind of build out my condo. And he would, there was nothing attached to him, but he saw something in the condo that was attached to this box or that had arrived with this box. The room felt different. It felt like there was someone there, but no one was there. It definitely felt male. And he was tracking something. So I'm like, okay, is there a fly? What's going on? And he was looking and tracking and barking and looking at something move across my room. And that was earlier stages of me just, you know, being initiated into HUNA. It freaked me out because I didn't really know what to do with it. And I saged my place and da da da. Sage did nothing. So it's a nice level 101 thing to start off with. But when you're dealing with entity attachments or people who've passed away in your home, that doesn't really do anything. So he saw energies, and so occasionally there would be attachments to him, but they were benign and I would just clear them off. So that's all I had personally experienced.
Now, earlier you said, you know, that when you'd ask for to see their higher ups, that some of these guys were big. You can actually see them, or is it kind of like a, you know, a mental image? How does that work?
It is a mental image. And sometimes, once or twice, I actually saw, how would I describe it? Kind of a dark figure in the room. It was kind of like, it just looked like a very dark shadow. So you couldn't necessarily see a form, but you could feel it. My hands would tingle. I would get warmer. Or sometimes the temperature in the room would drop. And when I was working with multiple people, they'll go, hey, it's getting cold in here. Or the room, the pressure, the air pressure changes. So sometimes I've kind of seen a shadow and like, and you feel how big it is. Often it's a mental image for me. Yes.
Would you say a large portion of people who have like past trauma or just something that they don't understand in their life that's causing them grief could be some sort of entity attachment?
Yes, it could be a few things. Often I think it is entity attachment. Secondly, it could be soul loss or soul fragmentation, where if there's a trauma, and this happened to me. So, and I've experienced this with clients and myself, that when you go back to the root experience or the initial experience of a huge trauma, let's say maybe a miscarriage or, hey, burning at the stake, right? Because that's a big, I mean, that's not just a bullet through the head or something and done. This is a prolonged, horrific experience that there is so much fear and trauma that a part of your soul will just split off. And it's like a glass shard or it's like an iceberg, but it just exits very, very fast. And it's like this white wisp and it just shoots off. And so soul fragments have to be coaxed back, but it can be soul fragments or entity attachments. Yes.
Now, will the soul fragments be around for every incarnation until it's kind of dealt with?
Yes, if you lost it 5 lifetimes ago and you didn't bring it back, then it's still gone. Yes. And you have to kind of coax it back and take your ownership. Say, okay, it's a little bit of a process and it depends on what the client needs. But often it's kind of a, let's go back to that initial thing. This is what was happening for me. And kind of like a child, you know, assuaging their fears of like, it happened, but it's long ago. It's not happening anymore. I'm sorry I wasn't there to kind of be big enough to kind of handle this, but it's okay now. And so then you kind of cleanse the fragment and then bring it back in. And there's one time where I put a soul fragment back in a person and the room lit up with light. Like yellow light, and the client also saw it as well. And my eyes got big and I'm going, oh my gosh, this stuff really is real. You know, it's these subtle energies that you can't see. But I've learned to just trust it because, you know, again, the client saw it or, you know, everyone else in the room sees these things. And I go, okay, I'm not the only person here that's, you know, making this stuff up to make my client feel better. Like this stuff is really happening.
Now, I've asked a few guests this that have dealt with past lives or do some kind of past life regression. How many incarnations do you think that we actually have that an average person has? I've heard anywhere up to 100.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how to answer that question because I've kind of gotten into this Well, are we really moving through time, or are we experiencing life through a specific lens? Like that time doesn't exist, that everything has happened at one moment, if you will, that everything is now, such that your past life is concurrently happening with this life. So I don't know if we necessarily have, you know, 100 incarnations. I think it might in a way be infinite once you get into kind of like the bigger realms of thought. I'll kind of, right? Like I'll start with, okay, here I am in my body. I have a soul in my body. Okay. Experiencing time from one moment to the next, whatever's in my awareness, I'm, you know, traveling with, quote, I am, quote, moving. But the more I am learning about, you know, chaos theory and string theory and all these things, just on the, like, you know, hearing and reading articles and so forth. But I go, huh. And scientists are going, well, maybe time is exists all at once, and that it's just our perception of us moving through it. So if that's the case, I'm kind of thinking that there's kind of an infinite amount of reincarnations that we can kind of pop back and forth into. What do you think? I'm curious about your thoughts.
Well, see, I had this discussion with someone the other day, and I don't know. The way you put it makes a lot of sense, but I've always kind of thought that there could be just one universal consciousness that we all share. And when we're doing a past life regression or experiencing that, we're dipping into this consciousness or someone else's part of that collective consciousness. That's just the way I think about it. But, you know, I'm very open-minded to any theories.
Well, yes. I mean, ultimately, there is no separation from anyone or anything. Okay. And, you know, I'm thinking about my book. So I wrote this book, Becoming Ridiculously Awesome. Who doesn't want that? And I kind of start people on my journey, right? Of getting into NLP, starting off with my trauma, what happened, moving through all that I had experienced and kind of stumbling on, quote, as a coincidence, NLP, and moving through these things. So, but I got through kind of the mental and emotional layers. And then I got into kind of the family soul layers. And then I got into the spiritual layers of not just Huna, but having an enlightened experience of, and it was the insatiable curiosity that I had of what am I, right? And it starts off, it's called these, self-autolysis, where you go, well, what am I? Or what is true? Jed McKenna with Spiritual Enlightenment, The Damnedest Thing, which is another fabulous book. He goes, just start writing what's true. And you won't really write what's true for a long time, but you just keep cracking at it. Anyway, so my curiosity was, what am I? Am I my body? Okay, well, I'm not my toe. Okay, right. So if the toe is gone or a hair follicle is gone, am I still me? Okay. And this is getting to the answer here of what I have come to realize. Anyway, so I'm lopping off my body parts over like a span of a few years and just like, what am I? How is this working? What's going on? Just going over and over and over. It's like this huge, the most complicated math, you know, equation I'd ever had. And I go, but there is an answer. And when I was in an actual meditation on a retreat and I was staffing there and I go, all right, well, I've chopped off it was kind of like the Monty Python. I've chopped off my arms. I've chopped off my legs. You know, I've chopped off my hips. Okay. I need the organs to live, but you know, at the end of the day, what really was left? And it was kind of like the heart and the mind was the hardest thing for me to go. But then there's this one moment where I go, well, if I can lop off my toe and my fingers and I can lop off all these other parts, what's to say that the heart and the mind are not the same as all these other things? And what happened was I didn't go anywhere, but my brain or my experience was that I got sucked through this wormhole. And I was seeing through my eyes, but I wasn't my body anymore. I had disassociated, if you will, that I was an experiencer or an awareness looking through this body and having an experience. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I understand that.
So then I go, oh, so ultimately the little eye of me and the body and the soul is nothing compared to the big eye that Jed McKenna talks about. It's like, it's the awareness running through absolutely everything. And when I got that, I go, I mean, it took me a long time to kind of figure things out. But it was bizarre because everything tangible, I'm like, well, that's not real, you know? And I was staring at the coffee cup in that morning, like 20 minutes later, and the teacher at the time, I was like so excited. And I was crying and I go, what do I do with this? He goes, just sit with it and just go off and have breakfast by yourself. And so I was staring at this coffee cup and I go, you're not real. You know, it's like, yes, it's tangible. Yes, it has its own reality, but it wasn't the reality. And it was just mind blowing. It was mind blowing. So from my perspective and my experience that there's a, you know, you and I are all part of the same stuff, right? If you wanted to read my mind or jump into my awareness, with integrity, right, and proper intention, then there's nothing stopping you from doing that. And vice versa. Mental telepathy, that's where it's why it's possible. It's not just we're dealing with the tangible wavelengths. The awareness is connecting back and forth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I can agree with very, very much of that. I think there is a very big connection between everything. Now, for the last few minutes we have, I'd like to get a few of the most like profound examples of your success stories with NLP, HUNA, and family constellations.
Oh, goodness. Everyone is really transformed with the work because it's so complete. So as I told you, you know, I went to therapy for a year and I sat on the couch and I, you know, poured my heart out and, you know, and made some progress, right? But at the end of the year, I was sitting there and I'd made some progress. I was more confident and I could understand myself better and all those great things. But I realized that I was stuck in story and I was spinning my wheels. I'm like, it's not enough what I'm doing. I said to the universe, I'm like, there's something else out there. What is it? And I was able to then, of course, the universe answered. And then like literally a week or two later, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who had been doing NLP for like 5 years and I never knew. And so, so there's that, you know, the awareness is if you set your intention, you know, look for the answer because it's going to come to you in some way. And it's up to you to kind of shift your filters and be open to it just enough. So the profoundness is that this work is very transformative very quickly. I can get to the root cause within half an hour or 20 minutes. I can cure a phobia in about 45 minutes without re-traumatizing the person. You know, if there is a person who's been so traumatized, you know, with PTSD, with war or childhood, you know, you don't have to muscle through it. As I've said before, you don't, you know, why do that to yourself? Why stay stuck in story and have your life still in shambles and try to make it work? Whereas maybe a few sessions. So the sessions are an hour and a half to 2 hours. And they're about once a month because integration needs to happen. And you do maybe 3 to 6 sessions. And then a lot of this change work is like you're shifting the energy, you're shifting the neurology, you're shifting the family patterns such that you can be yourself present, not fighting the past. So that's like the overview. But one of the greater examples is someone who used to She was very close with your mom, but it was a love-hate relationship. And she always wanted to move. And she goes, my mom and I having a hard time always. And she's just full of drama and very narcissistic. And maybe I just need to move to Santa Barbara. Maybe I just need to move to New York. And I go, well, how far away is far away enough? Right. And because I was challenging, well, is it really the distance? Right. It's the emotional distance. I said, well, you could just not call her. You could still be 5 minutes away from her. And anyway, so it's like, so NLP challenges, family soul constellation challenges and uncovers the root cause. And so with NLP and with family soul constellation work, we ended up learning that the energy she was running was basically a duplicate pattern of what her grandmother was running. And so the grandmother to mother relationship, she was duplicating and so forth. And so once we untangled it, then, and we did all that we needed to do and we forgave things and honored things, she didn't need to move anymore. She has a more positive, balanced relationship with her mom. She can set her boundaries without feeling guilty. And all those, you know, parents do a really good job at, you know, they do the best they can. They're not perfect. I'm a parent and it's hard work. You get triggered and you get challenged all the time. And, it's hard to stay present. So I can understand how much can get mistranslated and brought down through the generations. So anyway, so her as an adult now, she can properly set her boundaries, have a more balanced relationship and go, I don't have to deal with this. That's not my job, right? So, I mean, she wanted to have her family move all over the place and it was driving her husband crazy, right? So when you can settle all those things, then maybe you can have the job you want. Maybe you can have that relationship you want and you don't have to move all the time. You know, you don't have to be in that anxious, you know, horrible experience. So that was one of the more heartwarming ones, I would say. You know, that was very cool.
That is cool. Now, I want to go back up for 2 minutes. You said that no matter the size of, say, these entity attachments or how big or bad these entities are, that the light always wins. Has there ever been any... experience you've had where it's, you couldn't get rid of the entity or it was harder than others or more difficult?
There was one where it was harder, but, it was a little intimidating. I mean, it was big. And so then I got bigger. But here's the thing is then you can call your higher ups and go, okay, guys, can you help me out, please? And they're always willing to help, but they have to be asked, right? They don't just intercede because they feel they're not in their ego like we are, where you need to have this or you need to do this, right? They just go, we're holding in support. And whenever you want our help, we'd be glad to help. And so, so there was one where it was intimidating, but I go, look, the rule is, the universal rule is, there is one soul in one body and you are not allowed to be here. And my client has told me that I need to make this right. And I've learned to not have my ego in there. It is, I am in service to the client. I am in service to the greater good, if you will. And so then when it got really big, and I was feeling a lot of resistance, I go, okay, guys, I need your help. And they came in and the room starts to feel different. It feels lighter. There's just a whole lot going on that you can't quite see. But then you feel the retreat. You feel the, okay, they win. All right, we're just going to go. It's going to be too hard. It's like, there are so many souls out there. And we can, I'd love to get into this. It's like, there are so many souls out there that you don't see that are messing with your experience all the time. There is when I was just starting this work with Huna Work, And you're still filled with fear. And here's the thing is, check your fear, balance yourself, because the more holes that you create with your fear, they will step in and try and do their worst. So you have to know who you are, you know, and know you're not going to be perfect, but if you know that, hey, this is my soul, my body, and I'm here to do my work, maybe I don't know what that is yet, but back off, right? Keep your boundaries and put your little hands up and go, however small your hands are, but just go, I am small, but I am fierce and I need help. And trust me, you have so many souls behind you, supporting you and all around you, ancestors, angels, guides, what have you.
That's what I was just about to ask you. These higher ups, like our spirit guides and angels.
Yes, absolutely. Ancestors, call on them and go, anyone. And this is kind of what I do, is anyone level 600 level of consciousness and above, or often I just do 1,000 because I think Jesus is pretty amazing and Buddha, they get it. Step into that consciousness and bring those energies in, and they will help you and you will feel it. And yet you're not, here's the thing, you're not alone. And you know, with COVID and everything else, the world has done a pretty good job on trying to separate through either positive intention or whatever. But the result is we've been alone with our fears and things we haven't dealt with forever. And now it's staring at us in the face because, okay, all we have is TV. All we have is negative media. All we have is blah, 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 right? The distractions are minimized. So if you step into, I'm just going to be fearful and I have no power, then you are going to be victimized in various ways, energetically, with your boss, with spouses, with whoever. If you go, I have no power, I have no boundaries, then people will just kind of unconsciously take advantage of it until you go, well, what if? What if I am strong enough? What if I have support and I don't feel strong enough myself, but I need support behind me? Okay. And, you know, and step into that, and that will help you along the way. And so I help clients from the very beginning to the very end, whatever issues they have. You know, if they're a CEO and they go, hey, I have a huge company, but, I still wake up in the middle of the night and worry if I'm good enough, or did I mess up, or what did I forget? You know what I mean? I have this self-doubt. I help with that. You know, and that sort of thing. So yes, there is so much support behind us that we need to tap into more. Cause we're not alone, right? We're all connected, in my view anyway. So use it, delegate. Have them help you. They're bored. They would be happy, more than happy to help you.
Yeah,
so everybody give them jobs
right now. Yeah, especially right now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now to close out tonight, you mentioned your book. Yes. Tell us a little bit more about that, and anything else that you're working on. And you have a 30 Days of Happiness challenge. Tell us about that as well.
I do. So here's what I've done is, so I've written my book, Becoming Ridiculously Awesome. Who doesn't want that? And that's a story of my journey and helping you through your journey and learning to understand a little bit more how NLP works, Family Soul Constellations and HUNA and all that. I have exercises in there so you can really hone in to your experience and what you want to shift and what you want to make better. So it's really a personal journey for you. So that you can buy on Amazon and on my website, livingyouraawesome.com, and I will autograph it for you and ship it out the next day. So what I have done is I started off with a 30-day happiness challenge, but I have shifted it to now be part of a bundle where I am doing a 4 coaching sessions and added videos and so forth, because one session is not enough and it's not complete. And, you know, it's like building half of the foundation of your house, right? You need the whole thing to really skyrocket you and get you to the next level. So the happiness challenge is I've shifted it to a 7-day because I don't want it to be too long, but I really want to get people pumped up. And so I help you through figuring out what your challenges are, how to break through them, and go through these really cool exercises so then you can do this work yourself. So go to my website, go check it out. It's a great course.
And what was your website again for everybody that's interested?
It is livingyourawesome.com. And if you also, I have another one too, and it's called ghostfreeproperty.com, which is just an offshoot, a little bit more focused to entity attachment, house and property clearing, and so forth. So I've worked with realtors and homeowners who just have
heebie-jeebies. It seems to be becoming a popular thing, the house clearing. I have a few friends that actually do that in real estate.
Yes, it is really crucial. It's really, really helpful stuff. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. We'll have to talk about that sometime. That was excellent information. Thank you so much for coming on, Meredith. And like I said, I'd love to have you back on. There's a lot more we could talk about in the future.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.